It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen, and we have a segment that we do once a month at this time. ARC, Federal Credit Union, Money Matters, to help you with your budgeting. And we're going to do this throughout this year in different topics each particular month. We're going to talk about your debt this time. Lisa Kaphammer is with ARC Federal Credit Union. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
And we, by the way, as it mentions on the website, they're the latest hometown favorite credit union. So you can get to brag about that a bit. Why not?
Absolutely. We work hard for it. We've had it for several years, and we're always proud to display that. So,
reigning champions on that, in that category. Thanks to your votes. There you go. What do we want to do as far as paying down or paying off? My folks always caution me about that term, paying down debt. Now, if you've got a lot of it, unless you hit the lottery, you're not going to pay it off at once. But correct, paying down can be better than not paying it at all. So where do we start about this? Organizing things?
Right. Yep. You always want to start by just organizing your debt. And since last time we did talk about building a budget, if you've built a budget, laid all that out, you should at least have a good starting point. If you haven't done that yet, that's fine. Still try to look at who are the people that you owe money to. You know, make that list of, these are my credit cards, this is my mortgage or my auto loan, my student loans, anything that you might have that you're making those monthly payments on, and realize that you should also list your interest rates. That's also an important thing that people really don't look at sometimes. Credit cards are usually the worst offenders as far as high interest rates, simply because it's an unsecured loan. It's the highest risk for the lender, right? As a financial institution, we don't have anything. If you don't give us this money, there's nothing we can come back on to say, oh, well, now we're going to take your car or we're going to take your house. There's nothing we can take. We just lost money to you if you're not going to pay us.
I heard some news story this month about one or two of the cards raising their interest rates even higher. And I thought they were pretty high already, some like 24%. So,
yeah, we've been pushing up close to 30. I think I did see one of the larger issuers that was, I think they had even pushed up over into the low to mid 30s. Mm. And I mean, even if you have good credit, it's not a guarantee that you're going to get a great rate. You may have opened your card at like a 0% rate for, you know, there's some kind of introductory promotion. But check that rate and see what it is now, you know, if you've had that card for a couple of years.
They send a little certificate every year. They have to by law, but how many people read that or just put it in file 13 immediately?
Yeah, the fine print is what gets people, absolutely. And so if you don't know where that is, you should get it on your statement every month, but you should also be able to pull up, you know, your online banking or log into that account. It should be in there somewhere. If you don't know, call those companies, ask them.
But, number on the back of the card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. See, here's the thing, and I talked about this before. I'm not bragging when I say this, and I say this only because my parents taught me to use money in this way. I don't carry a balance. Mm-hmm. This show is going to be for not just people who carry. You can say, well, I don't carry a balance either, but you got to pay it off every month. Plus, maybe you've got mortgage, you got the car payment. You do have to worry about your debt, even if you're paying off the credit cards every month. But that's something with people who make the minimum payment. If you don't realize that, you're letting yourself in for a problem. It's a money suck. You don't realize where it's going.
Right. And that is, again, when you list those out and you put your interest rate along with the balance on that card or on, you know, your mortgage, your car loan, whatever it is, how much do you owe? What is the interest rate? And what are you paying on it each month? And I understand with credit cards, that varies. If whether you're making the minimum payment or you're trying to pay over the minimum, but you're not paying it off or you are paying it off, whatever your situation is, maybe just look at a snapshot of your last month's series of payments. See where you stand. And then we have to approach it as, how are we going to start paying them down? There are two very common approaches. One's the debt snowball and one's the avalanche.
Okay. Explain what those are.
So when you look at the avalanche, you have to look at those interest rates. So if you don't know your interest rates, you're probably going to not want to take that approach.
See step one that Liesl gave you.
Yes. But the interest rates, whenever you look, like your mortgage, obviously, is usually the last thing people pay off. But you have the lowest interest rate usually on that.
Thankfully.
Yes. Currently, anyway. Mm. But something like a credit card that you would hopefully not have an astronomical balance on. I can't guarantee that for everyone, but hopefully that's not where your highest balances are.
Because life happens.
Yes, exactly. But those are probably where your highest interest rates are. So if you're looking at the avalanche method, you want to pay off the loans with the highest interest rates first, because when you make those payments, you do have money that goes to interest first. That's the money that that lender is getting from you for the service of providing, hey, I'm giving you my money to pay for your things, and then you pay me back over time, but I'm taking my cut out of that as well.
Would a good example of that be looking at your mortgage payment and seeing they show you, okay, this much went to interest, mm-hmm. this much went to the balance, and I don't know what it would be on, say, a credit card. They don't list it that way, do they?
It's usually not. I mean, I have found personally from looking at my own accounts, it is usually much easier to see on like a mortgage statement than it is a credit card.
And out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. So the avalanche method, getting rid of the highest. So this is when Liesl said, you know, see what interest you're paying on everything first. And that's why you could apply it for the avalanche method. What's the other way here?
The snowball, which is you start with your smallest balance. And you just say, okay, I have this credit card that I owe $500 on. I'm just going to take every little extra penny that I can pinch, throw it towards that until it's completely paid off. Then you've gotten rid of a full payment throughout the month, and you can take whatever you were putting on that card and just move it to the next smallest, you know, payment that you have.
So you pay that off, not just pay it down. You pay it down until you've paid it off. Mm-hmm. Then you turn your attention to the next biggest problem and the next and the next.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a Dave Ramsey type thing.
That is actually. Dave Ramsey does push that one a lot. But I think the main reason for that is it works for people because they get to see that reward of, oh, I have one less debt hanging over my head now. It's a quicker, I don't want to say immediate gratification because it still takes time. It's not immediate. But you see reward there quicker for what you're working towards. That avalanche method, usually if you're attacking something with a high interest rate, it may not have the lowest balance either, so it may take more time to pay off.
I can sort of see the idea of if you've got 12 plates spinning, for those mm-hmm. who remember the Ed Sullivan Show, if you get 12 plates spinning as opposed to 10 or 7, you get rid of one of those each month or several over the course of a year. Yeah, like the psychological aspect has got to be great.
Yes. Yeah, that's a huge piece of it, is just feeling that relief of, I don't have to worry about this payment each month, which is kind of the idea behind a debt consolidation loan as well. But we'll kind of touch on that in a minute here.
Okay, one less bell to answer, one less egg to fry, one less bill to pay, and that's going to be a huge advantage in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there's a little bit of endorphin. It's like, oh, I accomplished something.
Yes.
Which will encourage you to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where do you go next here?
Right. So after you make that list and decide how you're going to approach paying those down, then you want to make sure that you maximize whatever payments you can put towards those. Because a lot of times you think, well, where am I going to get this extra money to pay off these? I'm already paying all that I can. Where do I get the extra money? Again, I recommend you go back to that budget that hopefully you've at least tried to outline for yourself, because then you can see what categories can I maybe trim some funds from and put towards paying off these debts. I kind of pulled a sample month from one of my budgets from last year just to look at just my streaming services that I was paying for. And it was almost $200.
$200 almost.
Almost.
Because I hear people complain about cable too. I don't have cable. I have two streaming services. And that's about $16.
Right. And we have since trimmed some of those streaming services for that reason. We were, you sit there and you're trying to watch TV, and you're going through and you're like, there's nothing on this. Why do we even pay for this? You know, what am I even getting out of it? And, looking back at it, that was a big reason. We're like, look what we're paying a month on this, and what benefit, when we could be putting it towards a savings or paying off a credit card or anything like that. And you think, I can live without Spotify premium or YouTube premium, and a lot of times it was the increased versions of something I could get for free because I don't want to hear the ads.
Yeah.
Or like,
well, when you do something like that, Can you pause some of those services? In other words, you don't complete. It's like, okay, it's when people think, well, I'm canceling cable. It's like, so if you have Disney Plus or Paramount Plus or anything with a plus on it, you don't have to cancel it completely. Just pause it.
Yeah, you can go into your account settings usually, and there is a pause option so that you don't lose, you know, everything that you've done so far. You've built up that algorithm, and it knows what you like to watch and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, I really need to focus on paying down this one credit card and getting rid of it. I'm going to take 6 months and just pause all my streaming services or whatever it is.
Yeah, or at least the one that you're not using that much. And if it's an extra $40 that you can put towards something else as opposed to the streaming service, and you can always pick it up later then.
Right.
The only thing I'd suggest on something like that is make sure you know when it's due on what date, because if you pause it like 2 days before it's about to charge for the next month, oh, good. If you pause it a day after, you're still going to pay for that month.
Right. And I do think, if I can recall correctly, because I think I did that with one of mine, I think it does give you the date that you lose access to the stuff. It'll say, okay, you know, your subscription is active until this date because you paid last on X date.
It's WRTU Weekend, Doug Herendeen, and from ARC, Federal Credit Union, talking about Money Matters, Lisa Kaffhammer, and we had talked about paying down your debt. Again, I use the term advisedly because my folks were always on my neck. Don't pay it down, because that's what they did for many years until they finally got a handle on it. And that's where I got my habits on what I'm doing or what I try to do. And if you can pay it off, that's great. Paying down is second, but it's better than not getting a handle on it. We talked about organizing your debt, choosing your debt-crushing method, either the snowball method, which is paying off the smallest debt first, then moving to the next, or the avalanche method, which you go with the highest interest rate and get rid of that first. And we were talking about maximizing your payments, and we'll pick it up from there.
Correct. So when you're maximizing your payments, we mentioned seeing where you can trim your expenses in other categories. Usually it's those entertainment-type categories. Maybe you're going out to eat too much. You can trim from your food budget.
No offense to the restaurants.
No,
but
I do love our local restaurants.
Yeah.
But also, if you feel like, you know, I really can't trim from other places, how do I get more money? There's also the gig economy is a very thriving part of our economy right now. I know people that have picked up driving for like Uber, Lyft, things like that, just doing delivery for DoorDash. And the nice thing about that is you can kind of fit it in around your schedule. It doesn't have to be, oh, I can only do this job in the morning, or I can only. So, or selling things on a platform like Etsy or something if you're crafty. There's a lot of different options out there.
Or junk you're never using on eBay.
Yeah, exactly. That garage sale you always meant to have. But I would be careful on that. And again, this, we're not tax advisors or this isn't legal counsel. But if you do start selling things and say it takes off for whatever reason, be aware of that from a tax perspective, that if you're increasing your income to an extent that it could affect that, just be aware.
Well, I look on the bright side of this. If I say I go to – I've mainly bought things from eBay here and there. But if I were to suddenly make $1,000 over the course of a year, yes, you're going to have to declare that. But you still made $1,000 over the year. And if you got an extra $1,000 at work, you'd have the taxes taken out. So you're still ahead after you pay the taxes. But remember it, especially this time of year when you're talking to the tax people.
Yes, exactly. This is probably an ideal time to ask any of those questions, you know, when you're out getting your taxes done. So
Long before we had the term gig economy, I was working with a guy in radio. He was doing full-time radio, and that's especially at some stations that takes a lot of hours during the week. It's not just 40, as some people might presume. But he still was able to pick up an extra job on the weekend because he and his wife had an unexpected debt. And to show you how long ago it was at a video store when that was still a thing. But boy, did everybody go to him for advice on what movies to rent at that point, because that was one of the perks. He kept up on it and he saw all this stuff. But he did it for several months, and I think they were both pleasantly surprised by doing that, how fast they got rid of the extra debt. It wasn't easy. Yes, he still had to put in the time, but it wasn't arduous either. Now, maybe you're not going to go to work for Blockbuster anymore, but there are other opportunities.
Right.
And he eventually discontinued that, but I have to wonder if somebody like the extra income and say they want to put it toward vacation once mm-hmm. a year or paying for the gas for the vacation, that would be a great way to do that if you can somehow make it work. Not everybody can.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Find something that suits your personality, that works for you. And I know people that have full-time jobs, good full-time jobs, that started waiting tables in college and still do it on like weekends primarily because it's when the best tips are, because they get good tips and they're good at what they do, you know?
I'm not going to say the specific area, but it's somewhere in, oh, I don't know, Huntingdon County, where there were some restaurants by this, not natural, but man-made attraction. Gee, can we read between the lines? And I was talking to a guy who worked here. Mm-hmm. This was a friend of his. And this was in, I'd say, about 2005, 2006. You know what he's making in tips a night?
I could guess because I know what I've heard from some other people, but not from that area.
300 a night.
I was going to guess about 2 to 3. That was going to
be. Yeah, and this was, now I have no idea whether that's still the case, but when people, you know, I look at it this way. I'm not too fond of people who look down on people who do certain types of service jobs. It's like, you don't mind going to the restaurant and having somebody wait on you. Why would you look at them as doing something menial or stupid? They're providing you with service.
Right, right.
So you want to tip them nicely. That's fine if they give you good service. If they don't, we'll talk to them or the boss about it. But mm-hmm. I don't think that there's probably still a stigma to a lot of people. It's like, I don't want to pick up an extra job. I do X for a living, and if I'm doing this, it's kind of diminishing X, and I don't see how that works.
Right. Well, and I know that, yeah, some people do feel that way, and I know I've seen various, I guess I could say, forums online with whole things going off about the whole tipping economy mm-hmm. in America. But
or working retail.
Right. But people found ways to make money doing that, then if that's what
if it can be extra money to what you're doing full time, mm-hmm. okay, but this isn't what I went to school for. Well, did you do this to support yourself in school? Yes. Well, then you know how to do it.
Right. If you have the skill.
If you can do it, if you have the time. Families happen, kids happen, other circumstances happen, caregiving happens. I understand all of that. So not everybody can do what we're suggesting, but if you can,
right.
I think that the stigma is still there to some extent, but that's it shouldn't be.
I agree. Yeah, you should never make someone feel less than if they're out there working. And
yeah, you know, at least they're, you know, I mean, especially, you know, if you're trying to pay off extra debt, you're taking care of your family, you're taking care of yourself. So why mm-hmm. is that a bad thing?
Right.
Now, if you can't do that, what are some of the other things you can look at here?
So there are always alternatives like a debt consolidation loan, which when you're looking at high interest rate loans like credit cards especially, and you're just thinking, how am I going to start paying these down? I'm paying so much in interest, it's hardly denting the balance. You can always look at combining those. Banks, credit unions, financial institutions do these quite frequently.
ARC does them.
ARC does them all the time. This is a very popular one for us because we do try and help people. We're not just out there making loans just because we want to make money. We're trying to help you get into a better place financially. So what we can do is look at, okay, you have 4 different credit cards. You know, why don't we just say you're paying X dollars a month between all those payments and you have this much imbalances. Instead of spending $750 a month on your credit card payments, let's combine all your balances. We'll do one loan to you for that amount. We'll send payoffs to all those credit cards, and then you owe us one payment a month instead of trying to balance that out.
Now, do you make the payments to all those things, or do you leave it up to the person to do that?
Usually we send out those payments. We have had unique circumstances depending on who the payment goes to, mm-hmm. But usually we send those out.
Yeah, no offense. Considering that you've gotten yourself behind the eight ball, I figure it's best if you have somebody like, oh, you who are giving me the loan, take care of that, and then I just pay you.
Right.
Now, mm-hmm. people are going to say, what's the catch? And the catch is, obviously, you're going to pay more in the long run, but now you can pay less in the short run and get your debt under control. You've paid off all of that. Now you just have the one person.
And you will see that the credit cards, the and this is the biggest thing, and we will kind of talk about this at the end too, while you're trying to pay down, pay off your debt, please don't continue adding to your debt.
That's the next thing, because I know somebody who did this. They got a consolidation. Mm-hmm. They figured, now I'm golden. And they went out and got more balance on one of the cards. And they were right back where they started in a very short time.
And it is sad sometimes to see people that have like multiple bankruptcies, which is a crazy thing to think about, because it takes 7 to 10 years for that to drop off your credit. We'll see people that we've seen more than once with a bankruptcy. So sometimes it's a really bad habit to break. So I feel getting this kind of information, this educational information out there to people before they get to a point where they're like, I don't know any other way to manage my funds, is really important, because you don't want to see people in that situation. That's very difficult. It's very stressful.
I know some friends who got into the situation of, and this is, people say, well, You sound like you're bragging. I'm not bragging. It's just what my parents drummed into my head. They wanted to live a higher life standard than, say, me or somebody else. Mm-hmm. Well, they went out and did it, but that costs you money. Mm-hmm. So they had the problem of having to pay for that eventually.
Yes.
You pay now or you pay later. You're not going to get it freebie unless you're just dealing with the lottery and good. Yeah. That's not my recommendation for dealing with any of this.
Yeah. And on the pay later side of it, you're paying more when you pay later.
Yeah.
Whether you're taking out, you know, a credit card or something like that. And one of the other things that we try to talk to our members about is things that you want to avoid when you're trying to pay off those loans. There is an option for 401k loans that a lot of people that manage 401ks will offer. It's not that they encourage it, but it's better than just cashing things out. You still get hit with fees and things like that, but you have at least the option. You're set up to repay. Yes. So it's a better alternative if you really don't see any other options. Something came up. Yeah, I know there are always medical emergencies. Things happen in life.
Yes.
But this is something that we still try and keep people from doing, because when you borrow from your future self, I mean, the money that you're saving now will be worth more in down the road if you let it sit there and gain interest. And
right. When you take if you take $5,000 out of savings, your life savings, it's not just the $5,000, it's the interest.
Mm-hmm.
Is what Liesl is referring to, when the future earnings that you would have had is not there while it's not back in the account. And yes, life happens, so you may have to do that. But the one final thing here about negotiating with your creditors, how realistic is that? Because I've had people tell me they had success doing it, and I've also had people tell me they had no success whatsoever.
And there's a couple different things that play a role in that. One is, what is your current situation when you're trying to negotiate with your creditors? If you feel that there is just no way that I can manage where I'm at now with this credit card. Wells Fargo is one of the first ones that pops into my head. So let's say you're looking at a balance on a Wells Fargo card and you say, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is astronomical and the interest rate's so high and I can't make these payments anymore. I need to pay it off. So you go into your account and you look at what the phone number is for customer service, and you call them up and you say, look, is there anything? Because a lot of times people will partner with like a debt settlement agency, and that can actually be very troublesome too. Because
you have to pay them too.
Right. There are fees. There are hidden fees all through there. And it can actually be a little more harmful to your credit than you would have wanted in the end. But going to your creditors directly initially is always the best step to take, trying to do it yourself. So you can ask them, hey, maybe you can lower my interest rate, or, you know, what are my options? Because they would much rather talk to you and try and establish some way to get funds from you for the debt that you owe them, rather than you just fall off the map. They never hear from you. They never get a payment.
Yeah, I think you said on one of the previous shows, you tell your landlord or the creditor when you're in trouble, not 6 months after.
Right.
And maybe they'll work with you. Maybe they can.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised how often they are willing to work with you. I don't want to say, the way it comes into my head is, we love hearing from our members when, but we don't want to hear about that you're in trouble. We don't want you to be in trouble in any way.
Work with somebody.
But we want to work with you. We absolutely do. We're not going to, you know, treat you like you're less than or anything because you can't make these payments. We know life happens, and we do have a department dedicated to helping whenever you're in those tough situations. We always try to be very understanding, you know. So it's something that we know. We're human. We've been there. So.
And as far as where ARC Federal Credit Union is, you have the two offices in Altoona?
Yes. We are right off 17th Street on 7th Avenue, and then we are down by the Juniata Shops, mm-hmm. if you're familiar with that part of town. So you can either end of town.
And arcfcu.org is the web address. You'll find a link to that and the information that we just spoke about on the podcast of this program. And we'll be on 1 month from now. It's the third Saturday of each month from noon until 12:30. Lisa Kaffhammer from ARC Federal Credit Union, thank you.
Thank you, Doug.